I'm Evelyn.
And I'm Malik. And this is EAM.
This is a podcast where we're going to be talking about the movies that we saw in 2024, and we're going to see what the others' opinions are about them.
Indeed, that is correct. And the first movie we are going to be talking about is Inside Out 2. Now, a lot of reviews say it has been really good. 4.5 stars. And I must say for myself, as I seen the movie, it has been a pretty good franchise for when Disney came out with the first movie. And matter of fact, it was so amazing that I almost jumped out of my chair. Because wow. It was so amazing. It had a good story plot and new characters to introduce, and it explains Riley's new journey of going to a different school but not having her friends around anymore.
Tell me more about like the characters in it.
Well, there's Envy, and she's more like similar to Disgust and also Sadness, but Anxiety is mostly an energetic type, but really she always gets nervous.
Now personally, I've seen a lot of YouTube videos and like critics about Inside Out 2, but I never watched the entire movie.
What?
Nah.
Well, people say that you have to go see it. It's been one of the most exciting movies to see in 2024.
Now, what would you say, which character brought like the most action to the movie, and which one kind of felt like it wasn't, like they could have left it out?
I'd say one of the most characters that took action was Joy. Well, she's the leader of the group. She knows exactly what to do. She mostly keeps Riley happy. I mean, that's what Joy is for Riley. Because she basically controls everything about Riley, making her happy, especially with the team around, like Sadness, Fear, Anger, Disgust. They all take a part of it. One key member that keeps the entire group together is Joy. And when she comes back to make Riley feel great again from anxiety, embarrassment, Envy, and the rest of the crew, then she's mostly doing anything she can to save her little Riley.
Would you say, like, the four new characters that were added were, like, a good idea?
I'd say they were, because as, like, we know, as we grow up, when we're toddlers, we feel only, like, some sort of happiness, yeah. Sadness. And when we grow up, when we think about it, you got to learn about new emotions you feel because you are educated and know good and well what emotions we have. That's basically what growing up is. And I'm not surprised they put it in for Inside Out 2. Riley is growing up. I mean, she is 13 now.
Yeah. She's going through some changes.
And changes are a part of life.
Well, I think I got a movie that I saw that I would like to talk about.
What movie was it?
Despicable Me 4.
Despicable Me 4. Ah.
Now, I feel like when I first saw it, I was like, okay, this is a good movie. And now, like, I think I get it. I now kind of get it why people say it kind of ruined the franchise. Because, I mean, they basically just turned Gru into a total like stay-at-home dad type thing.
I somewhat agree with that. Well, the whole story is that Gru finally learns something is better than basically ruling the world. From him being stealing the moon with Dr. Nefario and stopping Vector, but Agnes, Edith, and Margot came into Gru's life and was able to change him to the fact that he has a responsibility now, as they are like his family. And when he married Lucy and stopped El Macho, they've been doing amazing stuff. Drew Jr. was born after they retired from their jobs, And especially when they stopped Brad, when they were taking a trip to visit Drew. But the most important thing that kind of was a little confusing and disappointing was when they took the minions and turned them into superheroes. Especially from when they already were smart as it is. But I'm not understanding when Ransbottom decided to make these test subjects and turn them into heroes that, if I'm really being honest, that weren't even good.
Yeah, they didn't really do much good for the world.
But at the end of the day, it's all about entertainment and what the audience would like. And most likely, the audience will love comedy from Despicable Me.
Yeah.
Whether it's like minions doing something dumb, especially when the movie is PG and made for kids.
I mean, I think Despicable Me is like one of my favorite movie franchises, and I think I'm going to rewatch the first three sometime soon.
I would say so as well. Despicable Me has brought a lot of joy into people's lives, including mine, because I mostly grew up with Despicable Me. Man, I started eating bananas for a whole week because I saw the movie.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, that heist scene, that was pretty cool.
Indeed. Speaking of which, heist, I want to talk about the upcoming Bad Guys movie that's coming out in 2025.
Yeah. Oh my god. I watched the first one, like, not too long ago, actually, and it was amazing.
It was phenomenal. Well, from my perspective at first, because most people say that they didn't really like Bad Guys, but hey, I liked the good movie. It was good, had a good plot, and it had some good characters as well. So, from the book to a movie. Yeah.
But I got the book in, like, fourth grade, as, like, they were just giving them out to us. And so I got, like, the first book.
Me, personally, I read the book until I was in eighth grade, which is last year.
That's a long time to keep up for a series like that.
Mm-hmm. Especially when I never really grew up with books, because I never liked reading before. I was only into math and music. But mostly, I now like books because I found out reading could also just be a way to calm yourself. Because I used to always be anxious and nervous when I had so much on my plate. But then reading just came in and just basically made everything more calm for me. Yeah. Especially when I see movies just like the books, it would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I hated reading, and then, like, in eighth grade, I kind of went through, like, a reading phase, and now I mostly go for, like, the audiobooks, because I'm a freaking slow reader.
Man, it brings the jolly, jolly joy. Also, another speaking of which a jolly joy, let's talk about one of the most recent Christmas movies, The Red One. I think that was a pretty good movie.
That's the one with Dwayne Johnson, right?
Indeed it is. And I'll say this much. It has been one of the most phenomenal Christmas movies I've ever seen. Especially when it had good characters. Like, very good characters that took part. Like, let's say Dwayne Rock Johnson, you know. Because he mostly is known for being strong and mighty. He played as many movies like Jumanji, and also playing Maui in Moana. Yes, especially when he sings. Oh, it's phenomenal. As I was saying about good characters, they had Red One, obviously. They had Garcia, a talking polar bear. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting for when they added Garcia. And I'm like, I'm wondering if this polar bear is going to fight. But I'm going to be honest. At the end, I was a little disappointed that Garcia did not do anything. But overall, I really think it was a good movie.
Can you tell me a little more about the plot?
The plot? Well, so the Red One was captured by this group. I don't really recall. And there was this one guy that was hacking into to give data to someone, and little did he know it was towards the red one known as Santa's location to the North Pole. So they broke in, stole Santa, and they basically captured him with his energy.
That sounds like it. It was action-packed.
Yes.
Another movie I saw was Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Oh, yes. Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I the first scene when I watched it, like, it made me realize that I need to start watching movies again. Like, I'm seriously behind when it comes to, like, watching movies. Like, and it's just, there's so much, like, iconic things. Like, there's, like, this dance scene that in the movie with the doctors. And I forgot the actor's name. Oh, my God. But, like, now, like, everyone's just doing the dance on TikTok and it's just...
Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jim Carrey. That's his name.
I think Sonic 3 took a wild turn, especially when he got his grandpa back and Robotnik was working with his grandpa to finally get what he wanted to rule the world, especially when they brought out Shadow, which I thought was going to be very different, because at first I thought it was going to be Amy Rose next, but no, they skipped to Shadow. And Shadow's plot really helped out the story, because it expressed how he really, really was at the time, as he was filled with so much anger after Maria's death.
Yeah.
And I feel like that most of the time, when characters don't really know how to express themselves, they only have anger inside them.
Yeah, that can be said for, like, I feel like most villains. It's like they're so angry about something that it just, it takes over them.
But I never seen something as a good battle between Shadow and Sonic towards one the close to the end. Especially when Sonic was fuming furious about Shadow punching Tom, as he treats him like family now. Especially when he had nowhere else to go. When Longclaw was killed by the Echidnas, and when Knuckles was first Sonic's enemy, and when Tails was his ally, they were together, and afterwards they convinced Knuckles to join their side, then they defeat Robotnik. Now, they all were together, but this time it was only between Shadow and Sonic, and Sonic to convince Shadow to join the right side and release all the anger. So what are your thoughts on the movie?
I think the parts where, like, Sonic was, like, just speeding, like, through Tokyo, and, like, I think there's, like, this one, like, chase where, like, Sonic was, like, speeding, like, around all the cars to catch Shadow, like, that got me so energized. Like, chase scenes in general, like, in any movie, they just hype me up so much. I get, like, so much dopamine, energy from those scenes. And they're, like my actual favorite thing to see in movies. And, I mean, like, the sets that they made were, like, awesome. Like that movie was, like, from the start. Like, from the beginning scene. That was just awesome.
I agree. From first scenes, I was already impressed, especially with the quality. It's from the last movie in the last trailer. It was just amazing. It can really show that most of the time that it was going to, overall, it was going to be a great movie. The first thing I would say is how the movies even came along. People would have never watched a movie if they kept the old model of Sonic.
Oh, yeah.
The old model, people were making memes out of it and everything, just completely making fun of it, until they redesigned the Sonic to make him more natural and actually look like his real self. If that remodel did not happen, I don't think anyone would have continued watching Sonic.
Yeah, and I mean, I initially was just going because my mom asked me to take my brother to go see it. So I wasn't really expecting much, or like I wasn't like very interested in it at all. But, like, I mean, as I said, like, first scene, I was like, oh, my God. Like, bro, this is going to be amazing.
Part of the movies, those are what really get me. The flashing lights, it's all perfect. Especially when you know you have that feeling inside you that you know that a movie is great. That you just jump out of your seat up and down, just waiting to want more. Another movie I would like to talk about, though, is Moana 2.
I was thinking that.
Yes. Coming back to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who plays Maui, but there's more plot of the story is especially to find her people, find her ancestors, while they guide her to lead to find other villages, to reach the across the entire ocean now that she is a princess.
I remember watching some YouTube videos about it, why the songs in Moana 2 aren't gonna be like as memorable as the ones in Moana, the first Moana, because like all the songs about the first one, they're kind of about like goals or that the characters want, and you know, in Moana 2, like the songs aren't really about like the characters' goals, and that's why they're not super memorable.
Yes, you're welcome for the first movie, because it's what people expect to say, or what his perspective is, because he's a demigod that he lassoed the sun. But one thing I like to talk about is the twister. Basically, the Kakamora helping Moana. I'd like to say that the Kakamora were very funny. But especially when they are coconuts and they look cute in the beginning. It's kind of a sour candy. It's like when you take, or a Sour Patch Kid. When I like taste sweet at first, well, actually it's sour then sweet, but let's say it's the opposite. It's they're sweet at first, but then they turn sour and evil. But then when they have realization of when they have their own goals, when they try to find other Kakamora, they want to find out what and where are they at.
That's a pretty cool way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, they got, like, these coconuts, like, they just got, like, this entire ship that they rule on. Like, this massive ship, and they're just this army, and as you said, like, they are pretty funny. They are a good touch to the movie.
And everything felt different. It's like I never seen Moana at all.
Yeah.
When Moana has a new crew, the little girl that with the construction, one with the maps, and the ones that take care of the plants, especially with Hey Hey. You gotta say that Hey Hey always is the funniest.
It's not Moana without Hey Hey.
It's not Moana without Hey. But people say that they liked Moana better because it had more of action instead of having it be more musical-like, because I could basically understand that. There was a lot of musical inside of it.
Yeah, and people are saying, like, Moana in the second one were, like, she was kind of more, like, annoying in a way. Kind of over-ambitious. Like, she was kind of, like, an annoying character.
She did talk a lot in the movie, but I would say her point, it's just trying to accomplish her goals. Trying to find out what she was going to do. And leading her entire crew, as she has traveled on a boat before. Even when her first time, when she was not supposed to, ended up being her best time. Because she defeated the lava monster with Maui. And I really think that is a important part of the story. Because without that, and guidance of her ancestors and her people, then I really believe that it was really good and a good part for her and a part of her memories as she keeps it on track. Well, guys, this is going to be the end of the podcast. And so, and this is Malik.
This is Evelyn.
And this is the end of EAM.
Hope you enjoyed our first episode and hope to see you come back for more.
See y'all next time, folks.
Peace.